That's a big conference room. Light makes a difference. It's okay.
Okay. I'm not going to get that far anyhow.
So I'll begin with the question. Thanks for the introduction, hosting us, and sorry about the wedding. Thought it was nicer in the house anyhow. If someone asks you, from what you remember, what mitzvot does the avot keep? What's the standard, what I'd like to call party line? All of them, right? It's almost the only, it's pretty much the only opinion you hear. Gemara brings that down. Rashi will quote that. And the first time you heard that, what was your gut reaction? Yeah, doesn't make sense. Two things I want to show you. First, I want to show you, like you mentioned, that when you get older, it's time to learn Chumash again and see the Parshanim. We're going to see that opinion is simply only Rashi's, and Rashi will deal with it as well. We'll see Rashi in light of the others, but big leaguers like Ibn Ezra or Ramban, it's just everybody else has a different opinion. Now, what leads to different opinions is so much fun because it's simply it's a way to appreciate how Parshanim work. But where they're coming from, so what I want to do in the shir today is simply try to sort of journey through them and try to figure out what's going on. And we picked this topic because it's in a Rishon. It's Parshat Toldot. The pasuk we're going to learn about is the last pasuk of Rishon. And I always have at least with teaching boys, is that if there's a pasuk in Rishon, most people know it. Sing Rishon. As you get farther and farther into the Parsha, Shani made, but in general, Rishon people know, from there on, it's all downhill. It's even in Parshanim, notice, look how many Parshanim there are on the first Aliyah, especially on the first Pasuk, and the first Aliyah, and how the relative amount of Parshanut, as the Parsha goes on, dwindles. It's interesting, you can take it statistically. There's no doubt about it. There's a historical reason. Ever since they started Parshat Shavuot, people darshan the first Pasuk. So I'll just tell the story in the beginning. There's a famine in the land with Yitzhak, and Yitzhak wants to go down to Egypt like his father did. What's God tell him? Remember? What's God tell Yitzhak? Don't go down. Shkom baratz ashar ma'alecha. He does him chesidei gur. You know that pasuk? Yeah, gur baratz azot. This chesidei gur, you have to stay. You never heard that one? That's the, gur baratz azot. I'm just kidding. Gur means stay in this land. And I'll be with you. And I'll bless you. Why? Ki lecha ozar ha. I'm giving you all this land, etc. And I'll give you, through you, I'll be the shvuah, the oath I made to Abraham, will be through you. And then he finishes his whole promise. And the last line, he throws a little punch. He says, now, what's the word Ekev mean? Pretty much? Since, because? No, it's interesting. What's this going on? The first will translate the word. Because Abram listened to me, and he kept my mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai v'torotai. Translated, he kept my laws. Now, what's wrong with that translation? They're different words, and it should be the same thing. And guess what the Parshim want to do? Figure out what each word means. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to follow that. We're going to work out first on our own. But before then, if God said beforehand, if you remember the psukim, God told Yitzchak, you'll stay in this land and I'll bless you because I promised this land to your father and for you and your offspring, I'm giving you this land and here's where I want you to live. And then it says, because it's just explaining why God picked Abraham Avinu or why you can stay. But we'll say that for the end. Now, let's just focus on Pasuk Hey. And we want to figure out what each phrase here means. We're not going to look. I want to do something, which classic for in teaching. What you can do when you read a pasuk like this, what's it mean? So, what do we tend to do? Right. Which is one. It's a great minhag. Okay. But if you want to, but what did Rashi do? He studied the pasuk and he looked on his own. So, I want to try and show how you play. If you play basketball, if you're playing the game down on the court, you'll appreciate the commentary much better. Let's think logically. What approaches we could use to solve the problem? Pretend we didn't have a. Pretend that we're in Parshanim. Yeah, what approaches could you use?
You want to crack open a concordance and look and see what words are used.
So I take the word Bishmarti.
Right.
Why concordance and not a dictionary?
Well, because
you guys know what a concordance is, don't you?
Right. Yeah. The concordance will allow me to look at the context in the way the word is used in.
Are you saying the concordance will allow me to build a dictionary?
It helps me find the other places, and then I go look at those different places in Chumash or Tanakh where the word.
But the concordance will help me figure out what the word means, and then if I have a dictionary, is the dictionary better than the concordance? In other words, I need a concordance some way to build my dictionary.
I think it's. I would first want to look it up, look in different places. I think the dictionary is too many steps down the road, because the dictionary already, I think, has done that work. The dictionary has looked in the machaber of the dictionary has looked in all the different places and has given one or several definitions of the word. By looking, I think it's certainly by how
okay.
the context.
Okay, so I'm going to open up my concordance. I'll find the word mishmarti, and so. I'm going to do a concordance just for Chumash or all of Navi or all of Tanakh. Let me explain what you're saying. You're saying is what he says to do. Instead of going to a dictionary, which might be a little bit, I mean, too modern or something, let's go and look all the other times in Chumash or Navi. We'll see where the word is mentioned, where the shorish is mentioned, or maybe the first time it's mentioned, right? And that will tell me what. Would that tell me what Avram did? Listen carefully. Would that tell me what Avram did? Would that tell me what the word means?
Gives you context of the word.
So basically, that's dictionary. If I'm looking up the other words, to find out what the word means, then in essence, I'm instead of going to a dictionary, I'm going to make my own dictionary.
Right.
That's how the dictionary works. What did Webster do? I mean, Rabbi Webster, what?
The dictionary is going to translate Mishmeret as. It's going to give you all these other words as synonyms. It's not going to be fine enough.
Yeah. Okay, so another approach would be, look in Chumash, where they have the exact same word, and what would that tell us?
What it means, the nuance.
Could it be what Avram did?
Yeah, it has to be what Avram did.
If Mishmarti later on in Chumash means something, a specific thing, is that what Avram did? Or, you follow the two possibilities? Is the word going to tell me what Avram did? Or so we're going to tell me what the word means. And then, let's say we go the dictionary approach, or the super concordance approach, and we find out what the shorash is, what the word means. Then what do we do? So now we know Mishmarti means to keep something. So it means to make jelly? I mean, what's that mean? Then what do I do? How do I know what it's referring to?
We have a problem. Then you have to extrapolate. You take an idea, and then you have to figure out what it might mean.
And where's the pool of information that I can figure out where it might be?
The words around it, the context.
Yeah, but what's it referring to in Abram's life? Let's say Abishmarti means, let's say Chukutai means a law that doesn't make sense. That's what they taught you, right?
Yeah.
Or no reason. For it. So let's say that's what Chok means. Then what I do, so it says Chukutai, that's what I look in the dictionary and a Chok is a law that doesn't have an apparent reason.
Yeah.
It still doesn't tell us what Avram did.
Right. So you stop.
Now, is there another approach you could try?
Well, there's information in the pasuk, this pasuk itself.
But is there anywhere else in Chumash you could look?
Sure, you could look at the first place, in particularly places before this, if possible, where the word cult was used, because presumably if there's anywhere before this, it's going to be in Avram's life.
Okay. So let's say I find this word. Let's say if I take the stories about Avram's life.
Right.
And I find this word. What would that tell me?
That was the hope that Avram did.
Then I'll know exactly what it's referring to.
Right.
So we can do a word search. One approach could be, we can do a word search in the life of Avram Avinu, in Chumash, look for these words, and if I find the words, what do I get? We know what he did. We know he did even without the pasuk. Now we know what the pasuk is referring to. What happens if we don't find the word?
Then you have to start looking afterwards in the
okay.
to see.
So we're going to see who played that game. We're stuck with Rashbam, because that's exactly what Rashbam does. Let me just summarize. Rashbam, one approach will be, let's look for that specific word in the life of Avraham, in Chumash. I'm going to do a Google search. Not on the whole entire web. Only on this site. Only on the Abraham site. I'm going to look for these words and look for matches. If I find a match, I've got it. So look at the Rashi. Look at A on the right. We can save Rashi for later. Instead of going in historical order, I'm going to go in logical order. What's that referring to? Is it Bakori here or not? Any Bakoris? Who's a Bakori? Nobody Bakori? Someone's got to be. Okay. What's that referring to? He says it's about the Akedah. What's the proof it's about the Akedah? In the Akedah, remember? We read this. This you might remember from Rosh Hashanah Leading, because it's got a nice nigga. Remember? So we have the exact same phrase. Rashbam does a word search. Ekev Asher of Shema B'Kuli in the life of Avraham Avinu. Guess how many matches he finds? One match found. Bingo. A difference referring specifically to the Akeda. Make sense? Makes perfect sense. From Parakhabet, we read it 2 weeks ago. Vayishmor mishmarti, look what he does here. Kegon mila dechdiv, vatat briti tishmor. That's Perik Yitzayim. We don't read that on Rosh Hashanah, so we're less familiar. Remember brit mila? Like, imotit briti benim benachar benzachach urecha. And then he says, vatat briti tishmor, imo lechem kol zachar, you keep my covenant. What? And we have the shorash lishmor, which is referring to the mitzvah of Mila, and therefore, what's Rashbam say? What's Mishmarti refer to? The fact that Abraham kept God's command, read Mila. Nice and simple. Look, what would he have to do now for Tzav? Because he only has one find, and Mishmarti is plural, so it can't be only one thing. So it brings like. Oh no, the other Chukatai, and the other ones, and Mitzvotai. Mishmarti is very general, can go either way, but Mitzvotai sounds more than one. It seems like this would be an example of what he did. Maybe there are more things that we don't know about. But there we have the word for sure, Mishmar.
Well, I can see Kugo meaning that all the Mishmar
One example. Like, no,
are there anything that was in the category of Mishmar?
It could be there were other things that were Mishmar, but we don't hear about them in Chumash.
But I'm saying that would be a riot that maybe kept everything, because if you think of everything categorized as Mishmarti, so these are each a singular example that the Rashbam is pointing out.
Of wider categories,
from each category, but that's to say that you could say that everything in each of those four categories.
Yeah, we're going to see that in Ramban, something like that.
But it's not consistent. I mean, it should be monitored.
Look at Mitzvotai. Okay. He does a word search for Mitzvah Tzav. Guess how many he finds? It's only one time you find the word Tzav. And this pasuk is from Leining on Rosh Hashanah, so you know it. Remember? Vayamo Avraham et Yitzchak b'no. That's the end of an Aliyah, isn't it? Remember? Vayamo Avraham et Yitzchak b'no. Ben Shmonat Yamin. Remember? Remember? Okay, that one's remember. The word Tzav. Oh, what's he say? What's is that not Hanukkah, is it? Mitzvah, what's Mitzvah Shmonat Yamim?
It's also Mila. This time it's
Brit
Mila for Yitzchak.
There's one thing he kept Mitzvah Mila on himself and his other team, etc. Then there was another Mitzvah to do Mila on the eighth day. Vayam Avraham et Yitzchak ben Shmonat Yamim. So this is, which is really strange. Why would one part of Mila be a Mishmar? And doing an eighth day via a tzivui. For only one reason, because it's a word match. It's a word match, and there's a word match. But again, the problem, there should be more than one. But that makes many ways this could go. Now, look at Chukotai
B'Torah
Zai.
There's something mitzvahs that are
tzivah. But he wants the word. He wants the word. He wants the word. He does a Google search, he gets one find. One find. Kukutai B'Torah Dai, guess what happens? You plug in Kukutai B'Torah Dai. Guess how many matches? Zero matches. What's the computer say? Do you want to spell it differently or something? He gives up. And now he changed his gear. And this, the fi ikar pshuto, that means he's arguing with his grandfather. But that's, his father's pshuto, he's ikar pshuto. The fi ikar pshuto, kot mitzvot en ikarot. He didn't find any matches. So what's chukatai v'torotai? Listen what he says. You know what mitzvot and ikarot are? What's the word nikar mean in Hebrew?
Recognizable.
Mitzvot and ikarot are the mitzvot that we don't need to be commanded. They're obviously the right thing to do. Like, they're also called the muskalot sometimes. There's certain mitzvot that we don't need to be commanded to know to do them. Muslim mishpatim. And mitzvotim, there's more sfarot there. But like the second half of the Ten Commandments. Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. Every society comes up with them. Even if, like, real basic ethical things that every society realizes it's have to have. That's mitzvot and ikarot. Kigon, gezel, arayot, chimud, dinim, v'achnasat
zorchim.
V'achnasat zorchim is?
No, but they say part of the shipments, they not think sichli.
Yeah.
There's a sheet that is sichli.
Yeah, basically, all there's about, there's like 50 shipments that they know of.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's about, and Tariq Mitzvot boils down to about 150.
Right.
They're catching up. when you boil down to it, the numbers are, but there's way more. All Chosha Mishpat, pretty much, is within the first half of it. Before, yeah. So he says, the Pikachu Kobita Nikarot. Now, these are all things from Avram's life. There's Geza with Avimelech, and there's Arayot. Listen what he says here. Listen carefully what Rashbam says. Kulam, all these mitzvot that Avram kept, hayu nogin kodem matan Torah, Avram kept them. Why? They're pashut. They're obvious. Yeah. If they're so obvious, what's the question now? Don't read ahead. What should be the question? If they're so obvious, Avram kept them on his own. Why command them later on?
Why do we have to be told to do it?
If it's so obvious. Ella, she'd had shuv and itpashu, nisrael, and kotu brit lekaiman. What Rashbam explains here is amazing. It's, what happens at Mount Sinai, at Har Sinai? Nitchatshu means Kashmarach mechanish them, and itpashu. Nitchatshu in the tank, it's lot tisach lot enough, Bechode. And itpashu where? Like you said. In Pasha Mishvatim? You follow? I went because Dinei Nezikin is an extension of Lotignov and Lotitzach. There's no tzitzach, but no tzitzach can't answer everything. You have a principle, and then that's what Jewish lawyers make the money on. And, it's interpreting the law, what it means in special cases. Nizikin is an extension of lotik nov, causing damage. Therefore, b'nit v'shu, l'israel, and on top of that, b'kotu b'rit l'kaiman. We're just instructed. What b'rit are we talking about? At Brit Sinai, we're entering a covenant. Remember Nasa ben Ishma? Okay. And what's part of that covenant? Because we're God's people, we enter a covenant to keep the obvious. We do it because we're God's people. Because it's the right thing to do, but also because those who are in the show this morning, that pretty much we talked about, that if you're representing God, it's what you say is important and how you act is important. But because we're talking about God all the time, and we're claiming to be His people, therefore, we of all people have to make sure that we have to be commanded to do the obvious.
It does. The Rashbam throws this extra word, and he doesn't just say nitchatshu. He also says nitparshu,
yeah,
which implies that there are pratim and details of these mitzvot that were not
so obvious
of Abraham's kiyum mitzvot.
Or maybe Abraham was able to figure out on his own. But you can't leave it for Amcha, and therefore Har Sinai we have to have Parsha Mishpatim. It could be the laws of Parsha Mishpatim Abram could have figured out on his own, or the Avot could have. But now, there's a difference between laws for Yechidim and laws for the masses. The whole halachic process is based on that. You can't start. People can't pass them for themselves. It's very nice to have a halachic principle, but when it gets down to bottom line, ask any posek, you can't go back to the original reason and pass it, and everyone just can't pass it. If this is the whole, if you give a whole story of what the whole reason God said, we can't eat treif is because it's not healthy or something, right? No. So nowadays, this is healthy, that's not healthy, and start making. You can have all the reasons you want for halachot. Bottom line, it gets into halachic system, and that's halach, and that's it. And that's and that and therefore we get to our Sinai, we can't leave it to. We have to be, it has to be explained, and it has to be mufurash. There's also pirush and also mufurash. It's got to be detailed, and then we follow it based on that. So that's Rosh Ba. Nice and simple. You saw our switches here in the middle. Now what's really neat, if we have time, maybe we'll see it later. Chizkuni doesn't give up on the word search. Maybe we'll see it real quick. Chizkuni, the first part of Chizkuni is word for word the same thing. Look what he is with Chukotai. She said that Kamochim Zaroa Chorav Shug Nimbulim, Tifti, Vaita Briti, Bivsachem, the Britolam, Biomer, Biamidel, Yakov the Hok, Israel, Bitolam. That's what we read this morning in Tilim in the Shir. I'll just explain quickly what Chizkuni did. Chizkuni doesn't give up on the word search. He searches in the life of Avraham Avinu from Lech Lecha to Chai Sara. It gets no match is found. Bruch Hukutai and Torah died. What's he do? He winds his search to the book of Tehillim. And he finds Psukim in the book of Tehillim that talk about Avraham Avinu. And in the Psukim in Tehillim that talk about Avraham Avinu, he finds the word Chok and the word Horah, or Torah. And he says, and he goes in the first there. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't give up. But that's the approach. I want to find the word match. Yeah.
I just noticed he also says the Zomila. He doesn't say Gagonila.
Yeah. Very good. He'll say even though it sounds almost word for word like Rashbam, he doesn't use Gagoni. He's so very good. For Mishmeret or for both of them? Yeah. Also for Mitzvotai. Then he's kind of a plural.
He also rolls the eighth. He says Mila Lishmona. Just kind of rolling in the Rashbam's.
Yeah, in general, Chizkuni often copies almost verbatim the Rashbam a lot. Probably in his Akdama, he said he was going to do that, but we don't have his Akdama. But the tons of Chizkuni are copying earlier Parshanim. He's like a Yalkut with a lot of things, and he has his own things on the lot. Now, I want to take the other side of the coin. Look at on the bottom left in Chief, Ebenezer. Tell me what he's doing. Veishmar Mishmarti versus Shem Klau. You don't mean Shem Klau? We have to explain what each word means. Mishmarti, Chukotai, Torotai, Mitzvotai. Correct? He's going to knock one off real easy. Fruits, apples, oranges, and pears. Understand? He's saying, why define four if I can whittle down to three? Because one of them can be a general name. So he says, instead of trying to define each one separately, he says, one of them, probably the first one, is a very general category. And he says, Mishmarti, Shem Klau. Mishmarti is like fruits, which include apples, oranges, and pears. Mishmarti are all the laws, and within Mishmarti, that includes Mitzvotai, Chukotai, V'Torotai. One down, three to go. Okay, so okay, so you got that Shem Klau. Kol mashu chayav v'shmor mitzvot chukim v'torot. Now, then he says, remember Dale said, Kigon, what's he say now? V'itachem. So V'itachem means? It could be. What's HaMitzvah? What's Mitzvotai referring to? Lech Lecha. Is Lech Lecha a mitzvah of the Dorot? What kind of mitzvah is Lech Lecha? Yeah. What's Ebenezer's approach? And it shouldn't surprise anybody. What approach is he using? Where's he going to? He says, if the pasuk is Avram kept my mitzvotai, and he said the example of that is Lech Lecha, what approach is he using? He's going to a dictionary, exactly. Because what does tzibui mean in Hebrew? A commandment. Was Avram commanded? I don't need to find the word. I need to find, like you said, the concept. The action. And if tzibui in Hebrew means a commandment, then what did he do? He did the commandment. Where was God commanded? Where is he commanded? Lech Lecha was a commandment. Where else was he commanded? That's a blessing. Or you'll be a blessing, or that's a wish, yeah. But that's not a command. That's depends what bracha means. But the other ones, okay, that's bad thing. That's what it says, kachlacha. There'll be another verse that's later on, it'll be really neat. But he has to save for something else, you see why. Listen, you'll tell me in a minute what the difference between mitzvotai and torotai in a minute. Kukim, this is a riddle there. Chukim. Remember, when you grew up, what were chukim? Things that either didn't make sense, or didn't have a reason or obvious reason. Yeah, I mean, that's the strangest things of chukim. Listen what he says of chukim. Bachukim. Hem chukot Hashem. What's that mean? The chukot is the statute. The statutes of God. Sheilech adam achrei masav. What's masav referring to? Who's masin?
God.
That a person should emulate God. Is that strange? In a minute, we'll see Rashbam said the same thing. We didn't realize it. What? And Rambam's going to say the same thing. Listen, the word chok will be a chiddusher, but all the parshim go in this, almost everyone goes in this direction, except Rashi. A chok? No, but in svichud, it goes with chok. Yeah. Chukot, svichud is when it's modifying something. Okay. These are sort of the statutes of God that a person has to sort of emulate God, follow his laws. And he's going to explain that in the pasuk about Shatnas. I'll tell you that in a minute. And Eilu HaChukot, what are these? These are, but most of us are, you know when someone's set in their ways? Something that Tu'a B'Lev, a person set in his ways, his heart is set. That's what he said, it doesn't change. I'll explain because we have too much time. In Shatnez, there's a in Parsha. Remember Kedoshim to you? I think this is still Rishon. Remember, everyone knows Kedoshim to you. Remember, we have all the you know, Lifnei Sivat Hakum, Vadat Bilhevei, Lo Telech Rechem Amecha, Tavod Adam Recha. And then they're all the normal ones, and always Ani Hashem. And then we switch gears. We say Et Chukotai Tishmaru. What's the Balkorin? Et Chukotai Tishmaru. No, Bemtecha. Asadcha Lo Tizrak Hilayim. Ring a bell? The introductory phrase to the laws of Kilayim in Shatnez is Ubegit Kam Shatnez is Et Chukotai Tishmaru. Keep my Chukim. Now we understand that that's classic Shatnez is Chukim. Ebenezer tosses it. So, what's that mean? Chukotai Ebenezer explains are the laws of nature, or the way God made creation. Ebenezer says, don't mess. Rabbi Brander talked about that this morning if you were in Rabbi Brander's show. He says, don't mess with nature. God made nature a certain way. God made different species. God made apples and oranges. That's why God made Bria. Don't mess with it. Leave it alone. And therefore, don't start mixing this animal with that animal and these seeds with those seeds. It's a beautiful pirush. The green, the ecologists, what do they call those guys? The green? The environmentalists. They should find it. It'll help them out. They get a lot of religious support. In fact, if the time is Ebenezer said it, if Rashi said it, they'd be it'd get better. Ebenezer is pretty traitor.
Is it possible that Nitzuot Balev is like Sichliot, or is it something that sounds?
It'll be even better. Yeah. Ramban's going to explain even better. Ramban's going to explain Ebenezer. But I'll explain what Ebenezer is saying. The word chok means, remember Nil Chashavas, you know what chok tochus is? What's chok tochus? Chok tochot?
It's the thing in the
book. Yeah. No, it's when you, to be, there's a question, you can't write. What happens if you engrave something? Is that considered writing? There's also a Shabbos on that. So the when you engrave something, that's called chokuk. The luchot or chokukim. A chok is something that's said that doesn't change. The laws of nature are chukim in modern Hebrew. In ancient Hebrew, Yirmiyahu talks about chukot shemayim v'aretz. The sun rising and setting. The stars moving. That said it doesn't change. That's chukot shemayim v'aretz. Something that said it doesn't change is a chok.
But isn't that the idea of sifliyot, that this is imprinted in the human being? Is that the...
Yeah, oh, that no, no, no. It's imprinted in God. That's what he's saying.
Which
is printed
in the
what you call me, he says more than that. God is Chanun V'Rachum.
Right.
That's God's, that's Chukotai. He's, Ebenezer says Chukotai is not God's laws he gave us. It's God's behavior.
Well, that
paraduma. He doesn't, why is that called a Chok? We'll get that in a minute. Yeah. Because not making sense is not a definition of a Chok, it's a symptom of a Chok. Understand the difference? That's what mixes everybody up. A chok is something that's said that doesn't change. I'll give you an example that you know by heart. All the Jewish holidays are called chukim, aren't they? You know by heart. Tell me the pasuk. Every single chag ends with it. Chukat olam adorotechem b'chomosh v'techem. Sukkot Tishvah Lochamim, Chukat Olam, but then the Sukkot Tishvah. Every holiday is Chanukah. Why? Because it's set on the calendar, it doesn't change. Something, it's called a statute in English. Something that's set that doesn't change is a chok. No. God sets it into motion. By definition, a chok does not have to make sense. It can make sense. The Rambam says exactly the opposite. He says if we were around at the time of Matan Torah, they'd all make sense to us. The reason we don't understand it is we don't know the background. And he gives a valiant try, Mor Nebuchim, saying, go here, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. In the end of Hilchot Milah, the Rambam says, they all make sense. He says, what's a chok? Something that's said, but has no obvious reason. The reason is that no, we wouldn't come up with it as opposed to mitzvot hanikarot, which are obvious to us. That a chok is something that God said. Now, what's paraduma? If you touch a dead body, you become tamei for 7 days. That's a chok. Understand? That's the way it is. The blood goes up. Like, there's laws of gravity, there's laws of tumah tahara. You touch an ant, like a, you know, now, for something, you're coming for one day.
That begs the question. It's a kashrut. It's all, there, I mean, most of the laws of the Torah are set. They don't change.
And the chokim.
But the word chok is not used in relation to kashrut. It doesn't really answer why paraduma is referred to as a chok and other mitzvot are not referred to.
Paraduma is not. Paraduma, there's a lot of laws there. Right? It's not chukat the Torah. Right? The Torah, there's a chok. The chok there is the laws of tumah tahara. There's a Torah. A Torah is a procedure. And there's a procedure of how to get rid of Tumah, which relates to the Chok. Because in addition to the Chok, if you... What?
The
Paraduma
is also counterintuitive. There's an element of counterintuitive.
Yeah, what...
A person is working with the...
Yeah. Yeah, that's called the Mashgiach Syndrome. You know that one, don't you?
No.
You know the Mashgiach Syndrome? Or they compare the Mashgiach to a broom. Broom? A broom cleans everybody up, cleans up the floor. But as it cleans up the floor, it gets dirtier and dirtier. Mashgiach's got that lashon hara, he's got a... You know, so you have a... So in Paraduma, the people, everyone who's osik in being mitar somebody else, they become tameh. We call that kiruv. When you're osik in being mitar other people, you become tameh. We call it the hook of conservation of tumah kind of thing. It's like really neat. It's not the same level of tumah. It's an interesting concept. And everyone involved in making the Efer Para becomes Tameh. That's the Chok. The procedure, the Torah, is how to make the ashes. There's a whole procedure how to get to the ashes. But everyone involved in that procedure becomes Tameh. That's the Chok. That would be a whole shir for seeing the Pesukim. It's a little complicated. But the word Chok, Ebenezer, consistent, Ramban, and Rashbam, all of them say, Chok, God said, Chukotai means the way I am. Not my laws, my behavior. What Aram do? He emulated God. Yeah, we'll say that. Oh, and maybe we should, in a minute, we'll go right to Ramban. Because Ramban explains it beautifully. And then what's Torah? According to Eben Ezra? Shemal Atzmo. That's Mila. Why do you pick Mila for that? The Ramban, Eben Ezra, in a sense, Torah is Torah. You know what I mean by Torah? Torah is Shochanah, it's laws. Mitzvot Hashanu, it's one-time commandments, that's Mitzvotai. What's Torah? According to Eben Ezra? Shochanah, Torah. That's laws. And therefore, how many Mitzvot did Abraham have? He had 77 Noah and Milah, that's it. Specific laws, he just had written Milah. So that was Abram's Torah. So it says, Sitorah, Shema Latzmo, Uvanav Avadav. Pasuk HaTorah VaMitzvah. He explains it also later on what he means. Now, I want to zoom to Ramban. Not the big Ramban, but the small Ramban. Ramban, we'll see later. Ramban first argues with Rashi. But then, Ramban is only a quarter of it. Ramban is like pages long here. Arguing with Rashi. You know, what Chazal, arguing over what Chazal meant. And what Mitzvot Deavot kept. When it's all over, he gives his own 2 cents. His own, that's not nice. He gives his own... his own perspective. That's a better way of saying it. In a beautiful way. Listen. See the an F, bottom left. Vader Hapshat. Vader Hapshat Tomar. What's Mishmati? This is Ramban. And tell me what approach he's using. What's it mean that Abraham kept my Mishmati? He's not gonna say like Ebenezer and say, oh, it's a general name. Mishmati is something specific. It's God's watching God's guard. Emunat Elohut, know what that means? And Emunat Elohut is belief in God. How do you watch God's guard? by believing and being true to your belief. Shemin b'shem amyuchad, b'shemar mishmer tu b'libo. He believed in God, and he kept it in his heart, and he was stuck to it, and he was consistent. V'chalak ba'alde avodah zarah. Now he believed in that. If he, other people profess, I don't worship, what do you do? You argue with them, head on. How do we know he did that? Ramban consistent, that's Ramban's Gisha the whole way. That's when Avram is Korei B'Shem Hashem, which he does 4 or 5 times over and over again in Bereshit. Ramban always explains what he's doing. He's not calling out to God, he's calling out about God. And he went to places, he would start telling people, professing monotheism to everyone around. And people claiming there's more than one God, he would argue with them. Okay, he would call Korei B'Shem Hashem, call it about God, to bring people back to serve. We'll return to that in a minute. Mitzvotai, but Pirush, Kechol Asher Tzivahu, V'lech Lecha Me'atzecha, who's he like here? His first Pirush is like Ebenezer also. But Mishmarti means guard, watch. And therefore he says it's not a general name, it's something specific. How does he define it? Based on what the word means. How do you watch God's guard? You watch God's guard by taking up for him, protecting him, watching him. Now, he brings one more example of a tzibui. Remember we had the Akedah and Lech Lecha? What's he had? This is a great one. Grisha Taba v'tbina. What's that talking about? Hagar Nishma.
Hagar Nishma.
Yeah. Whose decision was that? Yeah, remember? Garish said, Kiloy got 10 head. Kosher Tamay Lecha. Sarah Shma Bukola. Remember keeping his Sazara? God told Abram Avinu, listen to your wife. That this is just for joke.
It's really, that's what it is. Right? The mitzvah is to listen to your wife, not
yeah. This is saying in jest. Don't quote me. There's a machloket. There's two ways when you have a certain law. There's what's called a binyan av. What that means? It turns out something once, and from here I can apply it to every other case. And there's what's called a horat shah. Is our horat shah is a one time. Yeah, like a one time, like a prat, like an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
So, in this is, I'm just joking. There's Ashkenazi poskim and Sephardi poskim. So, Ashkenazi poskim hold that this is a binyan av. That when God told Avram Avinu, listen to your wife, we learn from there that you always must listen to your wife. That's called binyan. Other poskim hold that from here I learn. That only when God tells you to listen to your wife, you listen. Otherwise, and then you learn, you're never supposed to listen. So that's a two. Okay, now back to the, that was just kidding. But that's listening, that's tzivui the same way. Look at Chukotai. He's explaining what Ebenezer was talking about. Look at Chukotai. And it's amazing how everyone, remember Chukotai, you would think things that don't make sense? Like Rashi says what everyone says. But listen to what Ramban says. Chukotai, v'lechet b'darchei Hashem, liot chanun v'rachum. V'oset tzedaka u'mishpat, u'letzavot et banav v'leitov bahem. In a minute you'll figure out exactly what he's doing. But let's translate. Chukotai means to follow the ways of God, to be chanun v'rachum. Would you ever imagine in your life that's what a chok means? Isn't that amazing what Ramban's doing? Well, exactly. Basically, he's building something better. He's building what Chazal built that on. He's saying, what's keeping... That's exactly Ebenezer, isn't it? God is Chanun Barachum. That's God's... God set in his ways. God is Chanun Barachum. And therefore, that's Chukotai. That's God saying... God telling Yitzchak, Avram emulated me. He kept my Chukotai. He emulated me. Which is to be Chanun Barachum and doing Tzedek HaMishpar. No.
There's an aspect to going in the ways of Hashem, which still has the Chok aspect that we traditionally think of the Chok aspect, which sometimes Hashem does things and we're supposed to emulate, but we don't understand why he does what he does. It's not that we don't even think that it's... I mean, God, there are things that don't obviously look so as Chanu Brachum. Right, well, I thought Judaism, yeah. Uses us, well, we think is kind, as much as we think. Yeah. We think is the opposite of that, is the opposite.
Yeah. Everything God's doing is Chesed, is Rachum V'Chanun, even though it looks nice, like something bad. It could be. Now, look at what pasuk is he building this on? Yeah, listen. What pasuk is he doing? Is building this on? Parsha Vayera. What? Simply, Abram's taking a pasuk. the Ramban's taking a pasuk and flipping it around. Remember what the Chumash told you? What the Chumash said before God destroys stone. Yes, what I'm about to do, and Abraham's going to be a great nation. It says, "Ki dativ, l'man she'itzaved banav beitoh harav, v'shomru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat." L'man avi Hashem Avraham. Isn't that the exact pasuk? You see how Ramban's on the Chumash. L'lecha b'derech Hashem, that's exactly from the pasuk. Ki dativ asher yitzaved v'shomru derech Hashem lasot tzedaka u'mishpat. ולך בדרך השם, בלך חנוב רחום, עושה משצר משפט, והוא צבוד את בנה בתו אחריו. כי דתי, ומה שיצבד בנה בתו אחריו. Now, that's הרמבנו, זה הרמבנו. What's the story? Just like Ebed Ezra, מילה, הוא בנה בעבודה, והם יזו בני נוח. That's a שוכן אורך. שאין תורה להם, he's not just the word Torah. That's like Torah for them. See, Ebed Ezra, that's רמבנו דרך הפשט, yeah.
Shomer,
we're talking about listening, but if you want to find the one that jumps out to me, the source where he's actually commanding to walk to emulate me. There's a better one in Ekev. Do you have a Chumashah? Look and read down in Yud Aleph, in Terek Yud Pasuk Yud Bet in Ekev. It's the same. This is from summer vacation, so I don't have to read it. There's three or four psukim. The Chumash tells you in case you want to know what.
Yeah.
No, no, not in Tipsh. In Parsha Tekev. In Tvarim.
In Torah.
You're in Shoftim Yom, okay. It's late at night, it's okay. Tvarim Perik Yod, Pasuk Yud Bet. Yeah, just read loud and clear. Lechet b'drachav, and?
Okay.
Now, is that the commandments? Look at the next line. Got it? Lechet b'drachav is not the mitzvot, it's a way of life. And you continue to read, skip through psukim. What talks about what God does. First is why you pick this, because out of love.
Skip to, try
Tedvav, it should work.
Rock.
Yeah. Then it says, right? Okay. Now, listen how he describes God now. It's right out of Shmoneh Esrei. Next line. Got that from Shmuel Esrei? One more line and we're done. Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining Lechem B'drachav. He's Oyv Gerim, he takes your Amanot, Yitomim, and then the commandment is, the next pasuk is V'ahavta et hager, you can make him there, it's Mitzrayim. That's a Lechem B'drachav. It's a shame it's during summer vacation all the time, I guess. That's good. No, because he wants something in Avram's life. That pasuk is, that's within Lech Lecha. If something's in Lech Lecha, Ma'ir HaChayisara, he'd prefer that. Because he wants something in Avram's life, not from later on. Yeah.
So is Ramban giving here a global definition of what Chukot Kukot is, or is he saying...
No, he's saying Chukotai now are not God's commandments, because God didn't command anything yet. Chukotai is God's ways, God's set in his ways. Chukotai means my habits.
So Chukotai being Hashem's ways is not just for Avram, that's a general...
Yeah, not for Avram, it's what Avram do. Avram emulated God. He saw God as Chanun Rachum, he'll be Chanun Rachum. That's the Lechet B'Darchei Hashem. And he proves it, and Darchei Hashem is from, he says Darchei Hashem is someone set in their ways. That's a chok. Something he said that doesn't change is a chok. It's called a statute in English. Now what happens is, because statutes don't necessarily have to make sense, so a classic symptom of a statute is, it doesn't have an obvious reason. As opposed to other types of laws, like Mishpatim, are based on logic. Mitzvot and Nikarot are the opposite of that because they have an obvious reason. I just have to command them, they're obvious. Okay, so that's, okay, we gotta get moving. So we did, now let's go to Rashi. Okay, we're backwards. But I think Rashi's doing, I mean, Rashi's basically learning Vilna, so it's, you see? There's a machloket there. Let me sort of the cape, and then the next question. Even Erev Tavshilin. The question is that a serious statement is it a Guzma kind of thing that you can argue? What?
It's all Gezeiros. That's
yeah. For yeah. So he says, look, what's Shema Avram Bukoli? Look at Rashi on top. Shini Siti Oto. What's that referring? Shini Siti Oto? Why is that Keda Nisayon? Oh, that's easy. The opening word is Hashem Nisat Abraham. Yeah, but that's pretty much Rosh Bam. But is that Rashi? What's Rashi? Is Rashi referring to the pasuk by the Akedah, or is it referring to the Mishnah in Perkei Avos? Isn't Perkei Avos? Isn't 10 Nisayonot in Perkei Avos? Yeah. How many Nisayonot did Abraham Avinu have? Remember, there are 10. Chazal argue what the 10 were, but there's 10. You know where they get 10 from? Amisa has 10 in the Midbar, don't they? Yes. Oh, no, it's the other way around. We tested God 10 times. God said, V'nasut is Eser Pamim. It's the other way around. So, 10 Nisayonot is this Lashon from Tzvarim. So, whenever I test, is that something general more than one time or not? It's not clear from Rashi. I think he's referring to, though, usually he's always basing on Chazal. Otherwise, he would say the Akedah. Vayishmar Mishmarti, what's a Mishmer Asu Zagbu Torah kind of thing? Gzerot, Narchakal, Azarot Shabbatorah, Kiyotchil, Larel, Shvut HaShabbat, basically all the Rabbanans. Everything, what's a Rabbanan? There's a law of Diraita, and therefore I want to put a fence around it to make sure we keep it. And I add, that's it, yeah, for sure. Mitzvotai, now this is what you grew up with. Mitzvotai, Dvarim She'ilu Lo Nichtavu Ruin Hen Nisavot Kedun Gezer Shvichat Damim. That's what his grandson calls Chukatai Torotai, he calls Mitzvotai. Because he did the word search before. That's Gezer Shvichat Damim. And Chukatai, Dvarim She'etzar B'mot Olam, Meshivim Lekun Echad Chazer V'Yashat Nez She'en Atam B'davar Elik Zer Tamelach U'tav Al-Vadav. There's no obvious reason to them, but you do them because we show God, we believe whatever He says, like you were talking about. God commands and we do them, we don't ask questions. We assume it's the right thing. We assume God says it, we do it. Like a king says, boss, you follow, and that's it. In Torah Tai, Torah Shema Peh, Halach Moshe B'Sinai. And that's what Rashi is saying? Abraham kept all the laws that Rashi kept. Right? You follow? Which is, I think it's a super powerful statement. Machshavti wise, philosophically, it's awesome. What's Rashi saying? Coming from Chazal, they're saying that whatever it was that Avram kept, whatever Rashi's keeping, is Avram Avinu. It's because of Avram Avinu. It's connecting our forefathers to Judaism today. Yeah.
Well, it does away with history.
It's historical. Yeah.
What they did. We do, nothing has changed, it's pristine experience.
And they, because we're doing it, they did it. Right. Even though they might, you understand? It's almost, it was called ahistorical. The fact that we're doing it, I'm going to invest these laws, and because we sent from Abraham, it was about. You can argue today tomorrow about what Chazal meant when do that. Now, some people put you in Karen for saying that, some people put you in a insane assignment for taking it literally. So, take your Ashkafa. That's Ashkafa question, not a Pashtunut question. That's classic Rashi. Ramban, what's his pastime? That's pastime. Yeah. No, you should know. I think there's tons of things that Rashi would agree with Ramban. I'm sure there's lots of things he would agree with Ramban. But Rashi can never write like Ramban for a good reason. You know why Rashi can't write like Ramban? Because if Rashi were like Ramban, he wouldn't be Rashi. The reason why Rashi is popular, because he's concise, to the point, easy to read, right? He knows his audience. And he created Chumash Rashi. As an educator, there's no one like him. He's amazing. He balances with that. And don't put Rashi in a box. Some people say Rashi's always Rashi's always Tzad, Rashi's always Trash, Rashi's always doing this and that. Don't turn him into a robot. Rashi's Rashi. He can say, he'll quote from here, he'll quote from there. Sometimes he even switch, change leadership. He's Mahadesh on a lot of things. He's Rashi. He's a teacher. Right? Don't put him, don't try to program the guy. Everyone's in all these papers trying to say, oh. He's Rashi. He's amazing what he does.
I think he
knows the what? He's like a little one, I think, what he called. compared to Ebenezer, he's easy. But it's rarely, rarely ever long. Now, because Rashi was so good and so popular, right, there's a lot of things he said which are simplistic. And if you want to be short and to the point and be popular, you have to be simplistic. Because Rashi is popular, what happens? Ramban comes, it's like campaign, and it argues left and right. Now, why do people read Ramban? Because once Rashi's accepted, right, so now Ramban's interesting, because once Rashi's in and popular, now people read Ramban. But if Ramban had written his Pirush without Rashi being around, would never made it to the Tafs. I'm assuming, but and that's why usually Ramban accepts Rashi, except when he argues. Is that deep accept? But he had tremendous respect for Rashi. And when the biggest respect you can have for a Rebbe is to argue with him. And every Rebbe will tell you that also. The biggest I know a Rebbe will have is if a student shrugs him up or argues with him. That's the biggest tradition in Judaism. Besides arguing, that's how learning grows. No one knows everything, and every generation learns from the next one. And arguing with something that makes sense to you, argue. Not for the sake of arguing, but for the sake of looking for Amitosha Torah. So first he goes, we'll skip this part because it's late already. But he has a question of, you have all the questions, the famous ones on Rashi? If Abba kept all the mitzvot, how come Yaakov was marrying two sisters? Basar B'chalav, yeah. What else was there? The Matzeva, Yaakov makes the Matzeva. Moshe Rabbeinu puts up Matzeva. There's all tons and tons of problems. And it can't be that it wasn't bad because God didn't yell at them for it. So then he goes, so look where there's like a line there, like opposite the letter E, verses number 57. It says, Ramban tries to say, maybe there's another way to understand Chazal. When Chazal said the Avot kept all the mitzvot, what's it mean? They kept Shabbos. Why does it make sense that they kept Shabbos? I told them, it was logical for them to keep Shabbos. God made told them about Shabbos. And somebody keeps Shabbos as though it's Me'id Abriyat Olam. It's like, can I get called after Akula? And therefore, it's like he kept, not that Mamish kept everything, it's like he kept everything. Which is the same idea we were talking about before. It's a meaningful statement. Then he says, V'ulay nomar Mishmarti. What he does now, he takes Mishmarti Chutei B'Torotai as categories, but not categories like Rashi does of. I'll just explain outside. You can look at it later inside. They're not categories of 600 of the Tariyag Mitzvot, but they're categories of the Sheva Mitzvot Noach. Within Sheva Mitzvot Noach, there's Chukim. Like, there's Chukim like Eber Menachai, things like that. There's Arayot. There's Mishmarti, and there's Mitzvotai. So he says, within Shem Yisrael, no, there's different categories. And he kept them, and he made up the Rabbanans on Shem Yisrael Noach. He agrees that Abram kept Rabban, he made a Sagli Torah, but he made a, the Rabbanans on, like on the Rayot that God gave Shem Yisrael Noach.
Is that they were already being...
That was a Lithuanian Yeshiva, yeah.
And may not have been the same Gezeris that we understand it. Could
have been different. He did the same. That was the pattern he did. And that's Rashbam. That's Ramban, and he brings some proofs from it. I want to do about 10 more minutes. Is that fine? Yeah. Oh, I've been going on.
I want to watch.
Okay. now, I want to go back to Ramban, the Ramban Alder Chabshat for a minute, because he did something neat. What was Ramban's Pirush for Mishmarti? Believing in God and sticking up for God. Now, pretend you're in college and you read a pirush like that. What would you want to say?
What? The dorm halls.
Yeah. Now, but why would Ramban of all Parshanim say that?
Because he himself had entered that.
Yeah.
He had to be the defender of the faith.
Now, remember the story with Ramban and the big debate with Pablo Casciano, whatever his name was, in Barcelona, I guess. It was a big debate. He got himself, he won and got a free ticket to Israel, one way. Now, what would you say that what's he doing? He's taking his own life and protecting it onto his commentary. You'll hear that kind of stuff a lot. It's so terrible. But if you know the story, when in Ramban's life did that debate happen?
Before he wrote his Beirush.
No,
didn't he write the Beirush when he reached there?
He redid his Beirush. He redid, but most of it's earlier. He was a Parshan Chumash way before that. I want to say exactly the opposite. Understand? He wrote his Pirush way before that. He made Pirush. It's his understanding of Chumash that inspired him to put up his dukes and fight. You know, to take the challenge of fighting. I think there's something exactly the opposite here. It's not that his life affected. There's nothing wrong with saying someone's life affects the Pirush on Chumash. It happens. It should happen. It's a Torah time. But in this case, I think it's exactly the opposite. That his understanding of Chumash affected his life, how he lives. And that's, I think, the biggest lesson of the whole of Ramban here b'chol. Now, in later Ramban, I want to see Sforno. We'll jump 200 years ahead to Sforno. Look, he goes something very similar, but very different. Look at Sforno on the right. Where does this see? It says, Ekev Asher Shema Bram B'kulim, B'chol Asher Tzivitiv. How's that different than everybody else so far? What was the most limited pirush so far of Ekev Asher Shema Bram B'kulim? What was the minimum for that? That was just Ekeda by itself. Then we saw Rashi, maybe Oven Yisunot. What's he saying now? Everything I commanded him. And that's like the most general thing. He just always listened to me. Everything. Laws, things, commandments, everything. That's general. We'll see why he does this in a minute. Then Vayishmor Mishmarti. He says, Asat Tabita Mishmarta Mukherat. He always kept my special guard. Now, what did Ramban say was God's guard? Was believing in God and talking about God and sticking up for God. Okay. According to this Sforno, how do you watch God's guard? Shehilik mo chesed. Karmol kol chot Hashem chesed v'emet. All the ways of God are chesed v'emet. And how did Avraham Avinu watch God's guard? By doing chesed. And ulohorot chatei b'derech, and direct people in the right direction. And how does he know he did that? V'zeh asak kasher kora b'shem Hashem. Now, it's more similar to Ramban than anybody else, but how's it different though? Everyone agrees it's similar to Ramban. Same approach, same idea. How's it different though? As opposed to? Yeah. So in a nutshell, what's the difference between the two? As opposed to, Ramban's focusing on what a person says. How do you watch God's guard? By what you say, or by how you act? Now, they're not mutually exclusive, but each one's thing. Now, you know when Sforno's living? He's a Renaissance man in Italy. Remember early Renaissance? What's in Renaissance time?
Art.
Yeah, art, culture, people, menschlichkeit, proper behavior, etiquette, things like that. Now listen out how what happens now. V'shamar gam ki mitzvotai chukta torotai. Now you see why he said Eikav Shemar B'Kuli, Eber Shemar B'Kuli, and all the things I told him. Special for Avraham Avinu. But what are mitzvotai chukta v'torotai? Shisabu b'nei Noach. Just like Ramban said, l'fi chazal, that the categories are within those three. Then he says, v'chein hayen na'ed doresh v'ner mekayim kum v'fet l'rabim. What did he do? The laws of Noach, he kept them, he taught them to other people, and he kept them in a way that was pleasant to people. Na'ed mekayim doresh kum v'fet l'rabim. And v'fet is a like a sign. He's like, what made Avraham Avinu Avraham Avinu? Not just by what he said. More so, how he acted, how he explained, the example that he said. So far, you follow Sforno? What's really neat is how every Parshan sees it from their angle. But of all the Parshan, the only one who says what everyone says is only Rashi. Everyone else has a totally different take. And the application of that is so. I'm talking educator-wise. If you're teaching this to children, and that's, I ask you, what was your gut feeling the first time you heard this? But when you educate children and tell them, and you learn this Rashi here, Rashi, I'm not against learning Rashi, great. But in this specific question, what means about the Avot Kip? You just think Rashi Shita, which leaves kids with what feeling? And which leaves them with a feeling? What? Leave me alone means they don't buy it. They don't buy it. They don't understand it, but it's over their head. It's either who you try to kid, or they're you're either mixing them up, or
they accept it unthinkingly, which is in some ways even worse.
Okay, now you can argue education, but you're right. I mean, there's a possibility there. As opposed to teaching them all the other Pirushim here, which are so character building and so important, and all the other ones are exactly what we want to educate our children to be. No, it's what you say, how you act, what you talk, and how that, and that's Avraham Avinu, and that's what we've learned from the Avot. It just is, and there's so much you can learn by sticking to, by inculcating them. Oh, you have to believe they kept everything, as opposed to seeing the other approaches there. It can be so much more building on an educational one. Yeah.
Well, I think just to take it another direction, into the interest of giving kids a derech is to, it teaches kids how to read, right? This looking at the other mafreshim, and showing how kids can look, if you want to know what a word means, to be able to look, well, let's look at other areas of in this particular
also,
narrative. That's, I think, also a very helpful...
also, you learn about the beauty of argument, difference of opinions. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole argument in chinuch in general. I think there's three also is a joke. There's three types of education. There's teaching how to think, right? There's teaching what to think, and there's teaching not to think. That's usually how you read it differently. In that's a joke in the seminaries. And there's a time for all three. There's certain questions you don't ask. There's certain things. There's times for not thinking. There's times for telling them what to think. It's also times for how to think. Now, up until now, everyone's been in one direction. Sforno does something now totally different than everybody else. What's bothering him? He's going to be bothered by a wise guy telling this to Yitzchak. Remember our opening question? What's this Ikev Hashem? Why is God telling this? Why can't he just stop in Pasuk Dalet and say, stay in this land, it's your land, I promise it to you, you're Avram's son, Avram Aviti, it's your son. Why does Ikev Hashem Avram Mokuli? All the other parshim can be trying to explain the pasuk. Sforno is trying to explain its context. Now, I have to tell you what happens. The rest isn't Rishon, so I have to tell you what you can read about this week. And this week's parsha. Avram stays in Israel. He goes to Gerar. And what happens? Yitzchak comes. He stays there, and he needs water. He starts digging wells. What wells does he dig? The same one his father's like, and the Plishtim goes up. That's like three. Nothing's changed. They get in the fights. And the first one they get in the fight is called Esek. The next one's Sidna. Remember that? Finally, get the Rechavot. And a little bit of peace. Then God comes to him again and tells him, I'll be with you. Don't worry. After that, God, Yitzchak goes to Beersheba, builds him his Be'ach. Guess what he does after he builds his Be'ach? He's Korei B'Shem Hashem. Okay, and then all of a sudden things go great for him, and all of a sudden Abimelech, who's angry, all of a sudden everyone's coming, hey, I want to make a treaty with you, you know, let's go into business together. And he says, hey, what happened? He says, we saw God's with you. Remember the story? Rings the bell? Yep. And when God came to him again afterwards, he said, I'm blessing you for the sake of Avram, before Avram Avdin. So only Yitzhak, God's consistently two times tells, and there aren't too many stories about Yitzhak, is reminding him who his father was. Sforno tries to explain why. He's a little mean, but listen to what he says. Well, it's the word's a little tricky, we'll read it carefully. Vinei li Yitzhak, tala b'shut achrim ata. That's what that means? Okay. God is telling Yitzhak now, the only reason, not that you are chosen, he's switching around, he says, the only reason you're chosen is who your daddy is. That's why. In a nutshell, Sforno's saying, God's giving him what they call in English, a shtoch. A jab, yeah. You know what a shtach is, don't you?
Yeah.
Everyone's a shtach, yeah. It's only yeshiva shalosh and shtach. It's not like in Hollywood. Okay. That's a really good stuff.
Maybe that's what feels like common.
It'll get the sign. It'll get on the show one day. Everyone knows what it means. Oshtach, these words you can't translate. That's what I mentioned before. Later on in the Parsha, he tells him, I'm going to promise you it'll be great because of Avram Avinu. And they said, Blochim B'Yakov, Koshke B'Avram. God never said that, never gave us like that, B'Yakov Avram. Why? Why is God telling that to Yitzhak? What's bothering Svorno? How come Yitzhak? What do we have about Yitzchak? Nothing. What should Yitzchak be doing? He should act like Avram Avinu. He should continue his father. And what's he doing? What makes him Yitzchak? Avram Avinu did Yitzchak. His only schut is that is your schut. That's your only schut. And what's God telling him? That's not what it's about. Being Jewish isn't just being your father being Jewish. Being Jewish is you have to be like your father. You have to be your father's son. You have to be your father. Yeah, I mean, he was just looking for water, but he wasn't making a name for God. He wasn't doing why he was chosen. And therefore, this is a wake, you know what the Torah means? Like he told Uri, it's a wake-up call. He said, this is a wake-up call, he said, this is a shtach to Yitzchak. Abu Achashkra B'Shem Hashem, after Yitzchak got the message, and then he goes to B'Zvizdach and Eitzchak B'Shem, then what happens? Then everyone starts coming to him, and things get better.
We don't find any
head
meeting or anything.
We have very few stories about Yitzchak.
What did he do?
So Sforno understands. He started talking about God.
But nobody.
Maybe they did. But earlier, Sforno said. Avimelech came to him. It works.
Isn't Sforno the one who says that?
Talking about God.
That acting that Gomel Chassid is
Korei B'Shem. Yeah. So if he says he was Korei B'Shem, yeah.
He started to behave, interact with society in such a way.
Talk to people around him, and he made. And then afterwards, V'lomo tu od, t'lo'ot mekanim v'dibri vod kashab rishona. And things didn't go bad again, ever since then. So Sforno understands that it's a wake up call to Yitzchak. All things, thank you. Yeah, he had to help him twice. He didn't get him the first time. And then, how about Yaakov? He never says by Yaakov, he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. He never says by Yaakov that God yelled at him. What's he say? He says, Amnam me Yaakov, lo tala b'zchut acharim, klal, ki hu amnam minurav yoshev o'alim, l'mod l'amed dat ata'am, v'fat bo'lei shev e'ever, k'shem olad, sh'sham, alu kol b'chshei Hashem, b'li safek. He follows here, he follows Chazal. What says Yaakov Yisham Yoshev O'Alim? He was learning in Yeshiva. In Olo Shoshem Ve'Efer. And what do you do in Yeshiva? You call it Hashem Hashem. That's what Yeshiva is about. You learn about, you talk about God, you learn about God. You learn how you have to act. That's, and therefore, for sure, Yaakov did.
That's an interesting twist on the Ivy Tower. You think Yoshev O'Alim, if he's sitting in Yoshev Ve'Efer, he's not out there.
No, but he's learning. He's learning what to do when he gets out there.
Well, actually, he's saying that that's where people went.
And people came there to, for guidance and things.
Although Abraham was the one who went out, didn't wish people to come to him.
You get the word out, then everyone starts coming to visit. But his point is clear, though, isn't it? That it's a wake up call to Yitzchak, and Abraham Yaakov didn't need it because he was better. There's another direction here that Yaakov doesn't do it because of his life situation. So he's learning it, but that's Yaakov's neder in Beidel.
He was on the run at that point.
And therefore, he couldn't go to his back, couldn't make a name for God because he's not a stature of the people who listen to him. He's a fugitive and a nobody. But that's where he makes his neder and says, when I come back, and I'm a somebody, and I can give meister, you know what's that? When I have money to give, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go to his back, I'm going to build a Beis HaMikdash. He's upgrading. That's his hope. It never happens, but that's just sure for Vaishla.
Could that be one reason why he gets so mad at his sons for what they did to Gomorrah and the whole town? I mean, he's not going to have a reputation. He can do this anymore.
Yeah. Well, if you brought that up, I didn't want to do that. But if you have 2 minutes, I'll tell you. I have a four down here. Remember, why is the Torah telling us that story about Shechem and It's a terrible story, isn't it? No. Who did the right thing, wrong thing? You can argue from day to tomorrow. Is it right wing or left wing? Remember, and Chumash is intentionally ambiguous. There's no doubt about it. Leaves it open. You know, Yaakov yells at them for it later on. Then he takes credit for it. Remember? He says, Shem HaShadachat V'chadvikashdi. And then he says, Arur Pam, and yells at hell. At the ring. It's not clear. It's intentionally ambiguous. But the... When Yaakov leaves to Beit El, leaves Israel, and God tells him, you're the chosen son, what's he do? Remember? He puts up a matzeva, and he makes a promise. So when I come back, I'm going to build a house for God. That's why he puts a stone down. It's simple. What's he want to do? Right now, I can't build a house for God because I'm a fugitive. I'm running. I can't. But when I come back, I think somebody do, I'll build a house for God and I'll make a name for God. He comes back to Beit El 20 years later. He goes to Beit El, fulfills his neder. What's he do? He changes the oil, right? You know what oil changes? Don't they call that in Hebrew? They call it Tipul Aser Talafim. He puts oil. That's what it says, doesn't it? He goes there again, puts oil again, makes the neder again, says, I'm going to build a Beit Hashem here. And that's it. But he never builds it. Why can't he? That's why the story of Shechem is beforehand. That's why the story of Shechem is before what happened. Right? Because what happened in Shechem, everyone wants to kill him. He made a terrible name for himself. Maybe they had to. You can argue that. And that's what's so beautiful about the ambiguity, that sometimes you do things which are terrible and you have to. Sometimes maybe they needed to. But there's a price you pay. There's so many stories about Yaakov that you do things you have to, but there's a price you have to pay for it. Remember, he didn't do Kibbutz Ahava for 20 years and he pays for it later on. There's all this irony in the story. Because even though he wanted to. Because it was time of war, yeah. You can't go around making a name for God if people hate you still. No matter how right you are. Yeah. He means well, but he's still doing something which is problematic. And he pays the price for it later on. Now, the story of Din and Shechem explains why when Yaakov comes back, he can't build a house for God. Instead, he doesn't go to Beit El to build a Beit El. He runs away to Beit El. And Beit El becomes the near Miklat. That's my last thing. God says, run away. No, I'm going to save it. It becomes a place of refuge instead of a place of thing. In other words, Yaakov moves to survival mode instead of revival mode. In other words, there's two times in Jewish history. We're in survival mode sometimes. I want to end with that. And often in Jewish history, we're in survival mode. It means they're out to get us, they're out to kill us. Who's to blame? You can argue today, tomorrow. But, and Am Yisrael has to survive. And you have to work on survival, and that's important. You have to build pride in yourself, and you have to close yourself off and just stay alive. And we're experts at that for 2,000 years. The question is, when is it time to go into revival mode, and what do you do in revival mode? Revival mode, when there's no enemy there anymore, and now you can start doing things, you can start accomplishing. If people don't hate you, now you can start talking positively and be like to others, and be a model, then what do you do? Now, sometimes, you're so used to being in survival mode, that you don't know how to act, you don't know how to get out of it. And sometimes you have to create an enemy that doesn't exist. But sometimes enemies are there. I'm not saying they're never there. I think one of the things that are tearing us apart nowadays, I think in Jewish history, we're exactly in that scene. Where, are we still in survival mode? Is the outside world so bad, and we have to close ourselves? There's times to put yourself in a tefillah noach. There's times when the outside world is so bad and corrupt, and they're out to get you, and there's everybody's got to close, you have to survive. Because if you go out there, they'll kill you. And I totally appreciate an opinion like that. I can really see, and it's probably even true. The rut there is a rough one, especially Ruchani one, spiritually wise. With all the cult, it's rough. And an educational approach is just close yourself off from the whole thing, live in the ghetto. Makes sense, if you can do it. On the other hand, there's a lot of positive out there. And now we have a state, we have our own country, we have freedom, there's more starving women than ever before. There's so much, and we have tons of visibility, people see us, and not everyone really hates us, and people talk to us. And now what do you do? Now how do you act? Do you say the heck with them? And I think we're torn in that all the time. And to be able to slowly get, it's like a patient coming out of a coma. So you take them out too fast, you're going to relapse. But you can't stay in a coma forever. So that's what we're torn between. That's what leadership's got to guide. God's got to guide. We have to hope. gets the right leaders to do that. But I think that helps explain, that also helps explain the tension between different groups within Am Yisrael. If, you know, some are, yeah, there's the survival, the people hold survival, and that's pretty much the yeshiva world, which needs to happen that way. And it's important that it happens that way. There's also a need, there's also a group pushing to keep things moving. And usually, if it wasn't for both of them, but each balances each other out, as long as they don't cancel each other out. That's the, that's it. So in general, Rav Kook always talked about that there's three forces in society all the time that are always in conflict. There's always, in every society, not just in Judaism, you have what's called Haidea Tatit. There's always people who are into religion. So, but the Jasavi, I guess the word in English. There's people into nationalism and people into ethics. Like Musar, because there's Haidea Musarit, or Musari. There's Haidea Lumit, nationalism, and there's a Ruhanit. You see it in Judaism for sure, you see it in every society. There's people like spirituality, you know, close themselves off. Monks, you know, people just and think that's the most important thing. There's people into nationalism, no shortage of them. National waving flags, archive free, up, up, up. And there's people into like Peace Corps, ethics, kindness, etc. So, each of those values are important, super important. And they're very building, and they're very critical. Then he says, the tragedy, what usually happens is, as we call it, Chodesh Tachthon as opposed to Chodesh Ayyar, right? What happens is that each group sees the other two as their enemy. And instead of working on what they're working on, they spend more time fighting their enemy than doing, you know, they're fighting their, they want to do what they want to do, instead of seeing as a partner, because they don't have enough depth. That's because Chodesh Oyon is when you have enough depth to appreciate the other side and work in harmony with them. It's amazing, he wrote this like 100 years ago, I mean almost 100 years ago. In the 20s, a long time ago. It's such a sharp insight. And that's his educational approach. And you see how he's misunderstood sometimes, because he writes how important nationalism is. Of course, no doubt about it. But he also talks about how important religion, ruach is. He also talks about how important ethics are. Now, when you take his works and read them selectively, you can think all you do is nationalism and that. Then you have a whole group of people, from close people, just nationalism and that's, like, that's the only value in Judaism. Because they don't read them in its entirety. And he builds up each one beautifully. And then he talks about the need to blend them. And it's not easy. And sometimes by trying to blend them, you only cancel them out. You follow? Sometimes there's a certain passion that young people have in all the three. If you try to tell them to appreciate the other person, you'll just quench his passion. And that's the question, whether the mixture happens at the individual level or at the group level. That's what I was thinking before. It could be that You can't do all three. It just doesn't work. And you let each group do their thing and hope that they blend at a group level instead of a... Same thing when anyone running a show has the same. You know, that there's people into this, people into that. You have to know. That's what a good CEO knows how to do. How to have everyone do what they do good and have them work together. And that's something that... What's that to do with this? I'm not sure. I'll get to that. No, it had to do with your question about why Yaakov doesn't fulfill his nether. You know, sometimes there's times when, you know, it could be they had a fight. It could be they had to stick up for their sister. But the price he paid is, when you're doing that, you can't go around talking about God. You have to wait a generation. That's why David doesn't build a mikdash so fast. Building a mikdash is symbolic of a... We said that in this morning show. It was the same idea. That's what he's building to, and he has the idea right, but it takes time. If there's any questions, I'll take, but I think you guys have food there, you have to eat. Anyway, thanks for...
just three announcements. First of all, refreshments that were alluded to. Second of all, if you walked in late, we are collecting money for Jobs Katif, and the specifics of how to make out the check for tax purposes is in the kitchen. You can leave your checks there.
That was the thing, by the way, about... No, the idea that... The reason we picked that stuck up for scientists because that was the theme of this year. In case you didn't catch it, what did the Avot do? They emulated God, and that's doing, you know, Chesed Rachamim and things like that. Yeah.
And finally, is there any interest in a million from our?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do it sooner than later. Just.
I think.
And then, yeah.
Maybe with some merit. Which he suggests that's the difference between Avram and Yugas believers. You had a few people who were about they didn't actually think Avram did. And Avram, what did Avram do? He suggests, for example, so he says, what is this? This is Avram. Hashem made a next one. He wanted to have it. He says, he suggests that Pesach is the anniversary of our covenant. And this was like a family tradition. The Lord kept offering it. So he says, and these are what the king is. So it's sort of the paradox of how the elders could keep Mitzvah. Abraham, in a sense, created the Mitzvah.
They kept the spirit of what the Mitzvah was about, the essence of the Mitzvah they kept. Yes.
He's saying that the box of the Pesach became a Mitzvah.
Because
he wanted something that was a whole. He speaks all the book.
Michelle Schwartz, the other half of the
Yeah, that's right.
We've got Ariel, Denver, Eddie Nansea.
Excellent, very good.
Your mom eating with you. She's a medical school. She's going out with Shiva Lindsay Bell.
That's right.
First of all, thank you very much, Nicole Friedman, Learning in Eretz Yisrael. Nicole, number one, I wanted to thank you for the emails. They have totally transformed my approach to formation. And like was said in the introduction, you know, when you approach formation the way a 2-year-old, you know, the second grader approaches, it's just a whole different story. That's number one. Number two, thank you for the share. It was very stimulating. And number three is, do you have any recommendations for a safer or somebody, maybe you've done this, that explains to you a background of how you approach Rishonim and the specific Rishonim that they use and what they mean when they say certain terms?
I'm not familiar with it. I just want the best approach to sit and learn.
as you learn,
don't look for certifiers.
Meaning the more you learn, the more you'll get familiar with how they're approaching.
And don't put people in the boxes. Try to understand.
Because Rishonim are known to be Mitzamtim in their Lashon.
But Rishonim assume the people did the footwork first. Rambam assumes you're swimming in the sugya. Chas as well. He assumes you're swimming in the sugya. He's talking to a chavruta.
I mean, you can't just approach a Rambam.
You can't read a Rambam without knowing the sugya. A Miri, you can. You read a Miri and not open up the top, you know what's going
to be. Because he takes you step by step and explains to you the background.
And that's his style, for sure. Ramban, you can't do that way. You can read the words and translate, you won't understand, you won't appreciate it, for sure. Now, if you go to Sugya and you read Ramban, it's 10 times better than Miri. Because you have a lot of Chabruta, 500 years old. Well, no, that was 600, 800 years old. But as far as it could be those books that do it, I think in general those kind of shortcuts don't help you that much. Because it's a learning process that takes you, that helps you recognize it. You catch on after one.
Any recommendations? And recommendations for let's say one Rishon, a first Rishon to approach?
Chumash?
I mean, the Ramban is famous, that everybody is you can't learn
about it. I do Rosh Bam. If you want to get into it, the straightforward thinking. Rosh Bam is simple and straightforward. You get appreciation for him. Ramban, if you're into it, you know, and the Ezra's awesome.
Each one has.
Yes. I think the way we do it, learn Chumash. Something bothers you, try to figure it out. Try to understand it. And don't ask what's bothering Rashi, ask what's bothering me.
And then see if the Rishon is
coming. And don't look for questions. Let questions happen. Don't look for a finish. Let the finish happen. Don't look for a question. Just read it. Read it. Try to understand. Plenty of things are bothering you. But let them bother you naturally. When something bothers you naturally, think for a minute. Bum, bum, bum. And then look in the parshani. And ever you'll find out. I think that's the best.
Thank you.
Sure.
enjoying learning from you for years on the web, but in person is even better. I'm about to make all the answers. I was going to be in the Shalim. Do you teach in the Shalim that women can go to in the Shalim?
I teach in there's an educated program at Growth.
Okay.
And one in Lindenau, the Dershot Lindenau, to teach in. Are they open for actually, I guess so, but it's both in the field. So I'm meeting for that, but there's a lot of good learning programs in Sala. Matan has and Nishmat and tons of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but I teach it mostly in
I'm a teacher. I teach mathematics. I don't teach.
When you come, what are you coming? How much is
I'm coming like this summer.
So email me, I can know I'll set you up in the schools that they teach at. It's your teacher email, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's not a regular program for
Valentine. I understand. Oh, yeah. Sorry, nobody
else cites Hazal or Yom HaGav. Is that broadly? Yeah. So why did nobody else get that? Why don't you just accept the idea that you already have the answer as well as something?
That's fine. We'll forward it for you. Thank you.
My whole good educational approach, that's all. Because there's a danger in this open approach. There's a real danger in it. I think people, there's a danger in making people think on their own and coming up with their own ideas.
Is this okay? Looks good. Looks all dry. A lot of people already do.
And it's a real problem. It's not a simple problem.
I didn't get to which one was the job.
Yeah.
You got so quickly.
Yeah, the Gemara. He was one of the ones that needed the Gemara. We didn't have 10.
We
didn't have 10.
What's important is how the Parshim understood it.
Right.
What it means.
Did you get the gist of it?
What?
You got the gist of it.
Basically, what
happened is just not just everybody says it. All those kept, even the very. It's just Rosh. There's six others that say, right, that say that it's something else.
What is that something else?
Well, it says that they. Depends on how you translate the word mitzvah, kok, mishpat. Different ways of translating koke. Koke means a law. Doesn't always mean just law. Law is that we don't know the reason for. It literally means a law that is on the books. So depending on how you translate that, if you say that the Avos kept the chukim, then they were keeping. Emulating Hashem, let's say. Emulating Hashem is not a specific mitzvah, like Torah Duma or something like that. We don't know the reason for it. Or what?
Erev
Havshilin, that's the famous one, right?
So they give the more general kinds of
things. Right.
Other than like trivia,
they really mean? They think you have any actual mitzvahs?
Some.
That's disappointing. We'll tell Leo with
that. Well, they kept. Everybody agrees that they kept the Sheva Mitzvahs for Noah. Because they have to. Everybody has to keep
them.
And if you look at the categories of the Sheva Mitzvahs for Noah, that's categories. There are chukim there. There are things that make sense. And then there are religious things. So, if you say that they kept those, then there's categories, so you can expand that. You may not expand it to all 613, But you can certainly expand it beyond just seven.
Do we know that if they knew all 613, it wasn't relevant, or we don't even
know? Well, a lot of the 613 are based on history. Like right. Sukkot is based on history.
Right, you have to first have it before you can do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this? Did they know it was going to happen?
Who's this, Arya Berger?
He's doing a TCM program on November 17th, right after Rabbi Reisman.
Yeah. Oh. Rabbi Krohn? Is that Krohn? If we're participating. Uh-huh. All right. I have to. He lives in Florida.
That's reality.
Yeah, there are some commentaries that are somewhat critical. There's a need for a balance between the two. It's not healthy to say that only this tells right, only that tells right. Because I think God controls things with, it's nothing so terrible if people have different drachim. As long as, that's the idea of Tosh Fatim. As long as they're in camp around the Mishkan, as long as they're going killing each other. But the need to appreciate other sides and make sure that their intentions are good. Well, and because you appreciate others, it doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to act like them. But doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't mean that you have to raise yourself up by putting somebody else down. It is a bit cyclical because a lot of people that are in chinuch that are teaching the younger grades, their understanding doesn't go far beyond Rashi either. And just for pragmatic purposes, Rashi is concise, it's quick. and cover ground as opposed to having to go to Ibn Ezra or Barbanel.
This lady came to me today whose daughter is in Beisatl, from a British lady. And the daughter just can't take it anymore. She wants to switch schools because they tell her every medrash happened and you have to believe it happened. And if, you know, if said Avon was kishay, that happened. And everything was this is kodesh, and it's brachah kodesh, and everything happened. If you don't believe in that, you go to hell. I mean, you're a culprit, and that's it. And she says, and she's going nuts, the kid.
What age child? High school child.
In a process, you know, it's wonderful.
The high school? Yeah,
no, high school. High school.
She's still with
Israel. No, she's still with Israel.
Well,
needed so much in America.
My place, yeah.
Yeah, we were Sukkot. We were there for did a bat mitzvah for our daughter.
God, you know, the
party, Camp Monk.
Oh, wow.
Long way.
Did you see how much weight he lost?
Yes, he said he's working out. He's watching what he eats. I couldn't believe it. I said,
look, like Tara said, he's obsessed. Like he does something, he does it.
Yeah.
He overdoes it.
I hadn't seen him in, I don't know, about a year.
Yeah,
less than a year. He was here for Shabbos.
He doesn't even look up.
No. No.
He's got a vocabulary. Where it comes from.
You know this, well, you probably know his husband, for sure.
Yeah, sure, that's Abraham, yeah.
Right.
That's his father,
right.
Yeah.
That's for Rebbe from...
The Mechala?
Yes.
You like the Mechala in the good old days?
The good old days.
Yeah.
The good old days. Yeah.
The one a Pisgah was a Pisgah 68? She was Mechala Pisgah?
Who?
No, she was Mechala.
I'm not sure what her dress was.
Were you?
Where were you?
You went to Mechala when it was on a Pisgah?
I'm sorry?
You went to Mechala when it was on Mechala Pisgah? In Pisgah?
No.
On Mechala Pisgah? By the...
Rehov and Pisgah, no?
No, it was the camp, the main camp.
Oh, it was built already, okay. Yeah. So you're in good
morning.
How old is the campus?
What?
I assumed it was forever.
No, in 60, I mean, I guess it's my...
I was there in 83.
Oh, okay, so I was there in the 70s. Oh. In the 70s, it was there.
When did you graduate TA? I didn't realize you...
72.
That was a little after Bernie.
Yeah, after 2 years after
Bernie. Yeah.
Did you ever buy Rottenberg?
Sure.
He's got some health challenges.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was with when you say you were there, you actually taught in the hall?
No. We talked to the girls in the class.
Yeah,
like talked to the girls in the class.
We were in the whole front.
The campus wasn't built yet. It was the orchard back there.
So the whole lake was still near the whole lake,
then? The whole lake was in the whole front. And the whole lake was...
So they were moved to the same camp at the same time?
And people were normal then. We used to play football by, you know, where the reservoir is. So it was a dead end and Rehovah Pisgah ends over there.
Uh-huh.
So the road's wider. We used to play football there.
So who else was in your class at TA?
TA? Jeff Cohen? No, he's a year older than me.
Okay.
Jeff Tarragon, also was my class. Uh-huh. Okay, with Samson. That's my class.
David
Sanchez
was in your class?
Is he the one that wrote the book, Honor of Cook?
Yeah.
Translation? That's a good class, wow.
What was there? Judah Minkov?
My father's doctor, yeah.
Was Shai Milikowski in your class?
Shai, yeah, Shai was in my class. And Mayor Gerstein.
Shai was in your class?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It must be a big rabbi somewhere, yeah?
In only Maryland.
Oh, it was only in Maryland.
Now we're from there. Because I wrote that.
I just wrote a biography on his father, somebody from Israel. Raphael Bloomberg, I think, wrote
a biography.
He wrote a biography on Ruth Malkowski, yeah.
It's just a biography. And Steve Gordon, from class. Benny Garfinkel.
I graduated in 82.
So did you live in the dorms? Did you live
in the dorms? But Malakowski was our dorm room.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
So of all the places in New York?
No, I was in Akron, Ohio. My father got smicha from Neir Israel. Mm-hmm. That's why my uncle, we were both in Israel. My uncle, Marinette Rose. Rose was, I guess they met here, and then he got a job here somewhere, and she became a secretary. She's been working for Rabbi Neuberger ever since she got married.
She's
over 60 years. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I don't think anyone... She's got to be a world record, so close to a Guinness record, being in the same job for so many years, like 62 years. She outlived Rabbi Neuberger, that's me. First, she said, so Rabbi Neuberger raised more money dying raised money alive, but when he died, he raised even more after dying. Because people have so much money saved in his memory. Yes. She knows every story about theirs. She knows what's in there. She could write a book. If I'm going to hire him, she would write a book.
Rabbi Brander, when he spoke at the Minyan yesterday, the A15 Minyan, and he said he got involved in some controversy down when he was in Boca Raton, and it was very soon after he got there, like within 6 months, so he got put in the harem by the Sa'am Mir Basin on some kashrus issue. So Rabbi Lookstein from New York calls him and says, 6 months, you're already in harem? You must be doing great. Rabbi Riskin called him. That's what he says. Rabbi Riskin calls me and he says, I'll tell you how to make money being in harem.
Turn it into an opportunity.
But he has two boys in the yeshiva now.
Right, he was telling me. Yeah.
It's like his father. It's a shame he's not a pulpit rabbi. I mean, it's nice that he's doing CGF stuff, but that's what they take really great pulpit rabbis. They're really needed, and they upgrade them. And I mean, I guess they'll do a lot that way, but...
Well, it's like a thing, like, they take really great teachers.
No.
It's not always the same set of skills.
Yeah. No, nope, not at all.
They take really nice kids and they turn them into teenagers.
We're friends with the Burgers also. Rachel was our shotgun. Yeah.
Said he's still in Far Rockaway for a while, and he's teaching his letter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was 10 years in yeshiva.
Yeah, Rachel and I were roommates in the Poland.
I'm older than Shalom, but Shalom started with yeshiva. I did college first, and then went to yeshiva. So he was...
One thing that occurred to me towards the end, we were learning about
the one with Mage. Yeah, well, he knows his son for sure. Yeah, he knows him. He knows where Abram. Everybody knows where Abram. Her husband teaches in Gush.
I think the argument is different.
No,
mostly.
I don't know what her husband is. I don't know anything
about
Rabbi.
The Rabbi.
Their life situations.
Their life situations. But it occurred to me that where
he teaches
English?
He teaches a few places. These are my introductions. He teaches like five different places.
Correct. Right.
He teaches in the road in MMY.
They don't know what it is,
She called you now?
She called to say that she wasn't ready to pick the girls up, but I needed to run out to do it.
Okay.
Phoebe said something like they're going to a specialist's home to show up x-rays and
pictures.
And
Okay. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Did you want to send them back with at least the bills, not the coins?
We have money left over from our trip from Israel. We're trying to get it back to Yaakov.
We'd rather
not
mail it.
Would that be a terrible for you or not?
I can, it's not a problem.
It's something you can just put in your wallet.
Israeli money.
It's
important for
American money. Just give him the 70. You want to put it in an envelope or put it on or something?
It's under, like, 396 now, so not 395.
Right.
It was right on at 4 when we were there.
We just did those hosts, we just did 5 almost.
What are you looking for, a little envelope? It's downstairs. Do you want me to run and get one? Let me run and get it.
Send me an email with a reminder. You do? Okay.
I'll send you an email.
Yeah. They're under nuclear threat. The war has had an education. A little bit of instability. And the economy is probably one of the best markets in the Western world. We kind of say we're getting stronger. It's crazy.
Okay.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
for your camera.
Thank you.
Okay. So what are you going to move to?
At least to begin with, if you want.
Do you know your way back?
Yeah.
Okay. What, not in this neighborhood?
Not this neighborhood.
The signs are sometimes confusing.
Yeah, cross country.
Okay.
I saw the country one.
All right. Be well.
Thank you for coming.
You.
Have a good night. Have a safe trip back.
Gave $40 cash.
Who?
40.
Here you have a 50.
Oh, I didn't see that. Good. Okay. 40, 30, 70. 50 is 120. 155. 167. Okay. Let me raise 150. And we'll put in something. Place. No, she didn't. Was that started?
No.
Who half of these people were? Phil Miller, you knew,
mm-hmm.
came with his son.
Son?
That was his son. His son in the 10th grade. Looks like he's a junior in college.
There were three boys here.
Sit next to Phil.
There's one in a suit. A young guy in a suit.
With a beard?
This young guy that just left. Uh-huh.
He was wearing a suit?
There was a young guy in a suit.
With a beard?
Mm-hmm.
He's a married guy.
Hmm?
The guy looks like Daniil? A little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know, but without a beard, he looks just like Daniil. He comes, the Weizmann shoe.
And then this guy here.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his deal is. I'm only
he said. And this woman with the gray hair.
I don't know what her deal is. She said she gave something. She's one that takes some cash. She said she gave money out of a fund, and who called other than you? Oh, What, do you have a can for this? Or you threw it out? I think that the Rav Kook thing, I think it took away from people.